We're talking about when sin creeps into the church. When sin creeps into the church, the purpose for which the church exists is kind of put on the back burner for a while because we've got to deal with the sin. When sin creeps into the church, everybody's talking about this sin in the church, not about what God wants them to be doing. And what we know about sin creeping into the church is that sin creeps into the church through us. We allow sin to take root in our lives. And then as we begin to interact with others, that sin begins to spread. And when that sin begins to spread again, the work of God is at best thwarted in the local body of Christ. And what we're trying to do is examine some of the things that happened in the early church that we might head them off in our work. Today we're going to deal with what James calls favoritism, what we call within our culture discrimination. When we choose to prefer a group of people because of either how they look or where they're from, with no basis whatsoever about what's in their heart. Because I'm telling you, it will so quickly thwart the work of God. And I was reminded last week, I think it was, by a friend. I was reminded that this hour on Sundays is probably the least integrated time in our American culture. And we just need to make certain that we are obedient to God in all things that we do to love Him and love others. With that, I'd invite you to take out your Bibles to the book of James. We're going to be in the second chapter. You need to follow along. I do have some of the verses in your outline today, but you need to follow along. Before I read the scripture for today, let me remind you who James is. James is the half-brother of our Lord. Okay? Because James's father was Joseph. Our Lord's father was the Holy Spirit. They had the same mother. So he's a half-brother of our Lord. He was an unbeliever until the resurrection, at which time he decided, my brother must really be the Messiah because I've seen him alive again. And the third thing you may not know about James, he leads the church. I know we think about Peter, but at this stage in the early church, James is the undeniable leader of the church. When Paul is on his missionary journeys and he has the questions, he says these will be addressed to James and the brethren. So when James speaks, he speaks with authority. And with that, I'd like to have you again look in your Bibles, James chapter 2, beginning in the first verse. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the one that's wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but you say to the poor man, stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those that love him? But you have insulted the poor. And it is, or poor, and are you, it is not but the rich who are exploiting you. Are they not the ones dragging you into court? Are they not the ones slandering the noble name of him by which we are called? Then in verse 8, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, and if you do not commit murder, but you have become a lawbreaker because you have broken the law of justice. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has been not merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Okay. With that, we'll go to our first point, which simply is this: there is a command. He says, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. It is a command. Is it in the Ten Commandments? No. But remember, Jesus broke it down to two commandments. Love God, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. It is breaking the second of the great commandment. You've heard it, the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do you want people judging you because of something you really can't change about yourself? Maybe you're tall, you're too short. Maybe you are the wrong color. Maybe you don't have any money. James says it is sin. And we need to recognize that James also points out that it is just a grievous sin as murder and adultery. And he tells us, 11 through 13, that God will judge that sin when we show favoritism. And it is not a thing taken lightly with God. Are you surprised if I tell you? I know you're not. Would you be at all surprised if I told you the church isn't perfect? How's the old adage go? If you're trying to find a perfect church and find it, don't join it because you're just going to mess it up. You know why the church is not perfect, don't you? Because you and I are a long way from being perfect. Now hopefully we're growing in our faith. Hopefully one day we'll be much closer to that image of Christ than we are today. But the church isn't perfect. And when we study the Bible, I love how God does this. God doesn't hide anything about His people. The church is not perfect. Last Sunday, we talked about when the church had grown to about 20,000. And they had a lot of poor people in the church, and they were having to set up lines to feed people. That those people that spoke Hebrew seemed to be preferred over the people that spoke Greek. Now, at this point, again, they're all Jewish. Every one of them is Jewish. But there are some that are there in Jerusalem and surrounding areas. They speak Hebrew. And they look more like a traditional Jew in their attire. But there's some came from foreign lands where they had been dispersed that spoke Greek. And they dressed a little different. So they talked different and they looked different. And somehow, when they started feeding the people, the Hebrew widows seem to get more, or at least it perceived that way, than the Greek widows got. Favoritism being shown. The apostles stopped it immediately, called the church together, said, "This can't be," appointed seven deacons and put them over to make sure everything was done fair. The greatest discrimination at that time in Israel, though, was not Greek-speaking Hebrews versus Greek-speaking Jews versus Hebrew-speaking Jews. It was Jews and Gentiles. Remember, the Jewish people are descendants of Abraham. They are the chosen race. They are God's children, God's family. God purposed them to show His blessings that they might be a light to the world. But they chose instead to keep that light for themselves. Hebrews is everybody else. The Gentiles. That's us. We're Gentiles. We're not children of Abraham. And the Jewish people would have nothing to do with the Gentiles. They considered them of less value than a dog. They would not even be around a Gentile. So when the early church, by Peter, introduces the gospel to the Gentiles and the Gentiles are saved, a shockwave went through Israel. We're going to let them in now? We're going to let those Gentiles in? How can we do that? Peter said, "The Holy Spirit told me to preach to them. And when I preached to them, God did the same thing for them that He did for us. How could I tell them no?" But that's not the end of Peter's story. Because I'm telling you, I don't care where you are in your walk with God, the devil can trip you up. Peter and Paul are ministering together to the Gentiles. They're eating with the Gentiles, worshiping with the Gentiles, and everything's going good. But a group came up from Jerusalem who were some of the very conservative Jewish believers who think that every convert must be converted back to the laws of Judaism, including circumcision. And they were very adamant about it, that if these Gentiles are going to come into the family of God, they should be circumcised. To which case they quickly opposed, and the apostles agreed it's not necessary. But Peter, when a group came from Jerusalem and insisted that they be circumcised or they couldn't be a Christian, Peter wouldn't associate with the Gentiles anymore. He said, "I'm not going to eat with them. I'm going to eat with these Jewish brothers that just came up from Jerusalem." Okay? So do you think Paul just stood by and winked at it? Not Paul. To quote Paul, "I withstood him to his face." Paul put Peter in his place. He said, "How dare you? How dare you preach one thing and do another? You preach that God has accepted them, but you won't even eat with them now. How dare you? The church isn't perfect. We make mistakes, but hopefully with God's help, we learn from them, we overcome them, and we understand that we have a command. And the command teaches us that when we show favoritism to a group, that we are guilty of sin. And then James goes on, as a great teacher does, and he makes it visible. Second point is the case we're talking about. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and then a poor man in shabby clothes comes in. James goes on to say, and you say to the rich person, come sit up front. And you say to the poor man, I'll find you somewhere, just sit down here next to me. He said, are you not judges? He said, of evil thoughts. Let's make it a little more apropos to where they were. At this stage of the church, there are no church buildings. There were no pews. People didn't sit like this then. As a matter of fact, they gathered together in homes. Paul talks about the church that meets at your house. So let's imagine that it's a group at your house. It's Sunday and maybe there's 20 or 30 people and they're going to come together and they're going to worship the Lord in your house and have teaching. And when the teaching is over, you're going to have a love feast and enjoy a meal together and just love each other. So let's say that you've been inviting people, and that Sunday your boss comes in. Your very wealthy boss comes in. And he obviously did not buy his clothes at Walmart. And he's got his fancy car parked out front. And he comes in and you see him and you just fall all over yourself. And sit in my easy chair here. You know what I'm saying? Sit here. This is the best chair in the house. Just sit here. We're going to watch a video Bible study and you've got the best view right here. And you walk over and grab him something cold to drink and hand it to him. And then a guy that you invited that works on the loading dock showed up too. He didn't buy his clothes at Walmart either. He got them at the thrift store. But he comes in and you see him, you say, well, come on in. I think there's space. And instead of looking for him a comfortable place, you say, why don't you stand over here or sit down and on the floor next to me. He says, have you not become judges? He says, is it not the rich people that take advantage of you and take you to court? He gives a very clear case. The first thing that we have to understand is there are differences among people. There are differences. Some are rich, some are poor. We have different skin colors. Oftentimes we speak differently. We're from different regions. There are differences. But that's in our eyes. God sees the heart. And I'm telling you, now, I don't know this for a fact. I'm not a medical doctor. But I suspect when the doctor opens you up for surgery, he doesn't see a skin color and he doesn't see a difference. This is our problem. It's not God's problem. There are differences that we see in people. Their clothing, their skin tone. Maybe we pick up on an accent. But we know they're different than us. But the difference truly is but skin deep. And the second problem is this. How we treat them. How we tend to judge them and how we tend to put them in their place based on our preferences. and what we prefer. How do we deal with those people that God has put in front of us? Do we tend to fall back to a stereotype? Or do we embrace them and love them the way God does? Or do we again fall back into sin? And you know, and I hesitated going here, but I'm going to mention it. A lot of times it's not our feeling, it's a group's feeling. And if we are with that group, we tend to act like they act. That group mentality. And if they seem to not favor somebody, well, then I'm just not going to favor them either. If they're going to talk about them, well, then I'm just going to join in the conversation. But James, again, is addressing a direct problem in the body of Christ that he says is wrong. It is sin. We all want to be embraced and loved. We don't want someone choosing not to embrace us and love us because of the clothes that we had to wear today. Now, I'm going to embarrass my wife sitting over here now. We've got two grandchildren here today. Others have kind of hither, there, and yon. We've got Blaze and Miley. Their parents are teaching them independence, okay? They do their own laundry, and they're white ginger. Miley's how old? Miley's 8. She does her laundry. She puts her clothes in her drawer. And I'm not talking folding, and I'm talking okay? And one of the rules at their home is you can't come out of your bedroom until you're dressed for the day. So, do you think that they open the drawers and say, well, I want this top and let me find some shorts that go with it or match it? No. First shirt, first pair of pants. That's what goes on. And sometimes, Ginger and I, we just sit back and think, they look like orphans. Where did they? But the point is, it's just dress. It's just dress. But we choose not to see people as God sees them. And here is why. Let me get to the third point here real quick. And that's the contrast. That's the way God sees them and we see them. Has not God chosen the poor in the eyes of this world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those that love him? And if you keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. You see, God sees differently than we see. God judges differently than we judge, because we judge by what we see. He judges by what's in the heart. And as long as we judge others by what we see on the outside without even knowing them, James says to us and reminds us it is sin. He says, have not the poor, those that God give a richness in faith? And I have observed that if you have not, the people that have less trust God, the more that they get, the more they depend on themselves. God is no respecter of persons. And Paul warns us that we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Pride is the issue. Jesus has gathered with his disciples. The custom of the day when you entered a home was you washed your feet. Hopefully, you had someone there that would wash your feet for you. Because if you travel all day in a hot desert with sandals on, your feet are going to be filthy. Jesus gathers with his disciples one day. No one's there to wash the feet. Did James offer? Did Peter offer to wash feet? No. Bartholomew? No. John? No. They all thought, we're too good to wash each other's feet. That's a servant's job. We just don't get our feet washed today. So they took their seat. Teaching time. Jesus wants them to understand the value of humility. That you're better than nobody else. That I, the Son, will humble myself. And he went to the door and he took the basin of water that a servant would take. And he walked over to these disciples and he began to wash their feet. They must have been appalled, embarrassed. They should have done it, but they didn't. Their pride would not allow them to wash each other's feet. But now they see their Lord washing their feet. And you know, Peter, if he was the early spokesman in the church, but so often when he spoke, he put his foot in his mouth. He says, Lord, I'm not going to let you wash my feet. And Jesus just tells him, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. And he says, wash my feet, my hand, just wash me all over. But Jesus taught them that day about humility, that we cannot put ourselves above God and decide that we want to judge others independently of how God views them. You see, if God accepts, who are we to reject? If God approves, who are we to disapprove? If God says they are right in my eyes, why do they have to be right in our eyes? If God loves them and values them and his Son died for them, who are we to find them anything but valued and valuable in the eyes of God? We exalt ourselves as judges. Well, God, you just don't understand. No, he understands. The problem is, we may not understand the way God judges. Study the scriptures, read through your Bible. Jesus seems to favor the humble and the meek and the poor. It is those who have money, fame and fortune he has trouble with. Especially the religious who think that they have achieved because they do a few things when God looks at the heart. James says, when you show favoritism, you're saying, God, you're wrong, but I'm right. That day that this rich man and poor man walked into the meeting. Rich man may have come to just check it out. Poor man may have come because the Holy Spirit was dealing with him. And God needed another missionary. We can't be that judge. But I know this, the Bible tells me that the love of money is the root of all evil. And what that tells me is for us here that we need to be careful with people who are different than us. They look different, they smell different, they dress different, they talk different. Everyone needs to be loved. Everyone needs to be valued. And we need to be absolutely certain that we never use our idea to supersede God's. Final point, and this is somewhat convicting, the consequences. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I love that last. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Typical Sunday, a life is broken. Their spouse has left them. They've lost their job. The doctor's just given them some horrible news. So they say, I'm going to church Sunday. I'm going to church. They come in looking for hope, acceptance, someone to just embrace them and love them and pray with them and maybe just value them. No one comes through the door of the church looking for judgment. We come through looking for hope. We come through looking for mercy. Because I'm telling you, without mercy, where would any of us be? God wants to show mercy to everyone, regardless of color, education, class, or creed. God wants to show mercy, and He shows it through you and through me. James says, don't show favoritism. You see what it says? We will be judged by the same law that we use to judge others. Here's what happens. God wants to bless you. But if you think for one second God wants to bless people that curse others, you're wrong. If you think you can come on Sundays and implore the blessings of God in your life, and then you go out and you're mean to people and you judge people and you're harsh on people because of some group they belong to, you don't understand our God and the way He works. He wants to bless that He might bless through you. He's the one judge. Not my calling. Not yours. Our job is to love Him and to love others. And to treat all others like we want to be treated. Couple closing thoughts. We need to pray for forgiveness and cleansing in our lives when we have harbored those faults of judgment toward others and belittled them. We need to ask God to help us see people through His eyes. Because I know how He sees them. And we need to ask God to help us see that person that we want to reject through His eyes. And then we need to treat them like Jesus treated them, which always with love and mercy and without judgment, because we want to be treated. Don't you want to be treated with love? Some of us here are getting older. I don't want to be discriminated against because I'm getting gray hair. I still want to be loved. We all want to be loved. We want to be valued. And you know, everyone does. We, the body, are to reflect the head. And the head is Christ. So let's pray. Father God, we are sometimes so guilty of sin. We are sometimes so guilty of judging others and being harsh. Something maybe that we've been taught that discriminates, and we know it's wrong, but because of the people around us, we act that way. God, forgive us. May we live as Christ lived, to value others. May we value others that our friends reject. Help us to show mercy to others like we want mercy shown to us. Help us to lift up others when they've fallen the way we want someone to lift us up when we've fallen. But have your way, Father. Have your way. Forgive us and use us. We ask it in that one name under heaven whereby we must be saved, in that one name under heaven whereby we are judged. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.